My dad, Pastor Salem, loved to help people come to know Jesus and put their trust and faith in Him. I'm Mike Salem. Welcome to the Christian Worship Hour. We are grateful to have you worship with us today. We hope you will invite your friends and family to watch with you. Thank you for your continued notes to us. From North Carolina, CWH is so uplifting. God bless everyone there that makes this program each week such a blessing. I know Pastor is with our Lord, but the sermons he left us are amazing. This is a wonderful ministry. And from Florida, a viewer wrote, "Thank you for continuing the timeless messages of Pastor Salem. I really feel blessed by each service that I watch. May God continue to grow CWH each year to bring the word of Jesus Christ to the world." In today's message, Payday Someday, my dad speaks on the parable in the Gospel of Matthew where everyone is given a talent to use for God's glory. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we're going to have a sermon today about the talents, about this man who gave out the talents, and then how that he called them in to see how they'd done. And there are a lot of good lessons for all of us, especially Christians. But there's a lesson for those who don't know the Lord either, and that is that you can serve the Lord, you can serve God, you can have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and that's the most important thing in all the world. So we're looking at Psalm 119 today, verses 5 to 12, where the psalmist writes, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes." And dear Heavenly Father, we do want you to teach us your word. We want to make your word the center of our life. We want to be obedient to your word because we know as we follow you, we find joy and peace and meaningful and purpose of life. And so help us to be people of the word, people of the Bible who follow it in all ways. And so now we pray that you'll just bless us. If there's some that don't know you as Savior, pray that today they'll open their heart to Jesus and then minister to all of us because we're all a needy people. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Jan is with us and she's going to sing a song that you'll be familiar with, In the Garden. And God bless you, Jan.
None other as ever.
Well, thank you, Jan. And that's the Christian way of going. You're walking with the Lord, and He's always there. And when you're up and when you're down, He's there. And no matter where we go, He'll be with us to help us. If we drift off into sin, He's always there, tugging at our heart, talking to our heart, telling us, turn around, come back home, come back to me. And the Holy Spirit will convict us and say, this isn't right, this isn't right, I'm on the wrong track. And then you go to the Lord and you just say, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and we can come back to the Lord. And I had a man ask me one time, he says, well, how many times can you sin and come back to the Lord? I said, oh, maybe 10,000. Every time you come back, I don't care how many times you fall, every time you come back, He will faithfully help you. And He says, my grace is sufficient for thee. He said, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Grace that greater than all of our sin, that's Jesus. Oh, you have to have Jesus. And if you don't, I hope that you'll, during this service, you'll pray to accept Jesus. Well, we want to thank you for the letters. We really appreciate the letters. Read them all. We're just happy, and sometimes we about cry a little bit. Some of you are going through some hard times, and we pray for you right on the spot that God will help you, that you'll just lean on Jesus, put it all your weight on Jesus. And so I'm going to give you our address in just a few minutes here, but first I'll read some of the letters. The first one comes from Memphis, Tennessee. I wanted to thank you all for your wonderful messages that my husband and I listen to each Saturday afternoon. I can feel the Holy Spirit in every service. You preach the Word of God. Could you please send me a new song Bible study? You touch the depths of my soul through your services. May God bless you. Well, there's a couple of things here. First of all, she can feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. And the reason you can do that is because we're preaching the Bible. And the Holy Spirit takes God's Word, takes the Bible, and applies it to heart. And sometimes He'll apply it to a heart and convict people of sin. And sometimes He'll go like the balm of Gilead, and He'll bind up a broken heart and will help you. Whatever it is, the Holy Spirit applies the Word of God and blesses and helps people. And then notice they say, talk about the new song Bible study. Now, the new song is a little paper we put out every month, and it's a Bible study about a certain subject. Now, for instance, in the month of July, we are studying about how to be beautiful, and it's easy because what we do is we go through the Bible and we pick out the beautiful things about the saints of God. And then we use them as our pattern. And we try to be beautiful. And I don't care what your age is, you can be beautiful in the Lord. You can have the wonderful Spirit of God, and there's some people like that. You just want to be around them because they just have a fragrance of Jesus. That's because they're sold out to Jesus. And that's the only way to travel. Let's see, Lisbon, North Dakota. God bless the Christian Worship Hour. It's truly a blessing for me. I watch your program every week, and it's nice to hear the simple preaching that you do. Only the Bible, that's all. I have a request for literature about stopping the cigarette smoking I do. I can't overcome it on my own. I prayed many times to put an end to smoking, but I still keep on. I'd appreciate your prayers and something about some literature. Keep up the good work, and God bless you. Well, this is a lady writing, and she's on the right track. That when you fail, you go right to Jesus and confess that failure and get up and try it again. But it's always true. You cannot do it. She says, I can't overcome it on my own. That's right. You can't do it alone. But when you have Jesus in your heart and you have the Holy Spirit to help you, you'll have a strength you never had before. And so we have literature that we'll send to somebody who wants to get off an addiction. And so we've sent that, and always a note to encourage her. And my guess is she's going to win the day with the Lord's help. Here's Bull Shoals, Arizona. Your worship services have brought me closer to God by helping us to understand the Bible and to know the true meaning of salvation. I humbly ask you to pray for my brother who's facing terrible challenges. And so here's a fellow in Arizona. Let's pray for his brother. And wherever you might be, just say a little prayer for this brother in Arizona. Be with him and watch over him. Help him to come to Jesus. And maybe he's a Christian and he just needs strengthening. Just pray for that. Just sometimes we don't know the particulars, but we know he's in trouble, needs help. And also she said, this person writes, brought us closer to God. And it says, then tells us why, by helping us understand the Bible. That's where the spiritual help comes from. Doesn't come from man. Doesn't come from anybody, but the Holy Spirit spoke to holy men of God, and they wrote the Word of God, and it's the Word of God. And the Bible, that's where the power is. That's where the strength is. And then I tell young pastors, always preach the Bible. Preach the Word of God, because that gives you authority. You don't have to get up and say, I guess so, or I hope so, or it could be so, or maybe so. You can say, thus saith the Lord, period. And oh, I like to do that. And then if they got an argument, it's with God, it isn't with me. I'm just like a parrot. I'm just repeating what God's given me. So get mad at God if you want to. Good luck if you do. Here's Egan, Minnesota. Thank you for your program. I prayed the salvation prayer, came back to Christ. Please send information how I can grow as a Christian and find a good church. Please pray for me. God bless you. Well, all right. We've sent literature already to this person, and it'll get them started on the Christian life. And then she says this, so we can find a good church. You ought to go to church. If a church is an institution of God. And if you can get around, now some of you are invalids and some of you are shut-ins, and you can't make it. We understand that. But you're able-bodied. If you can go to the restaurant and eat, you ought to be able to go to church, seems to me. And but just don't go to any church. Go to a church where they preach the Bible. Now, I don't care what they got on the shingle. I don't care what the denomination is. Some of them don't have any denomination. They're just God's people or whatever it is. Check them out. If they're preaching the Bible, get in there and help them. Don't get in there just to see what you can get and what they can do for you. That's the millennials. You get in and see what you can do and how you can serve the Lord. But it's really important to be in a church with God's people. Here's Eden Prairie, Minnesota. I am sick, and your program has been a huge blessing when I can't attend my regular church. The sermon about Jesus being my advocate helped me to believe he takes all my sins when I ask. I no longer need to carry them around like a heavy luggage. And I think what she's talking about is, you know, most people don't have any problem with when they accept Jesus. They don't have any problem knowing that all their sins are washed away in the past. But then there's some will teach, well, now in the present, you're on probation. And if you don't toe the mark, you're going to lose your salvation. Now, if you study the Bible, you find out you cannot lose your salvation. And if you're all hung up on that, you write to us. I'll give you the address in a few minutes. I have a little booklet, about 12 pages, on how you cannot lose your salvation. And I'll be glad to send it to you. And if you don't have any money, I'll send it to you free charge. And after you read it, you'll probably send a big gift. I don't know what you'll do. But I'm going to tell you this. They think that they're on probation. But Jesus tells us all of our sins are paid, past, present, future. Use your head. When Jesus died on the cross, you hadn't committed any of your sins. So he paid for all of them. Oh, that's the gospel. And once saved, always saved. You're always his child. Here's Sun City Center, Florida. Oh, I like this one. Well, be sure to listen to it. Stay awake. Wake your husband up here. Back to a few years ago, since we could no longer get to our church, we channel hopped and found the Christian Worship Hour. My husband, Harold, was a few months younger than Pastor Salem. As his dementia worsened, he would say as the program came on, "His name is Harold." God bless him. He forgot everything, but he didn't forget Harold. See, that is a wonderful, wonderful name. And the thing that I can't understand is why in the world don't more people name their little boys Harold? Where are you? Anyway, it says God called him home, and he says as dementia worsened, he would say to the program, as the program came on, "His name is Harold." God called him home July 2nd, 2015. That story shows God's work also. May God bless you as you minister to the homebound. And we do think of those who can't get out. And we pray for you. And we think about you. Every time we pray for the young people. We pray for the persecuted church. And we pray for the homebound, those who can't get out, every time. Here's Alba, Michigan. "I just wanted you to know last week you talked on 2 Kings about judging people, which I've been doing, and after your sermon, I felt God came into my heart. I will try very hard not to judge anyone anymore." And so that's what you do. Just be obedient to the Word of God. When God shows you something, when He lays something on your heart, just do it, just believe it. And don't, like James says, don't be like the man who looks in the mirror and his hair's all mussed up and he doesn't do anything about it, he just goes on anyway with his hair mussed up. When you look in the Word of God, it's a mirror and it shows us who we are, exactly what our model should be. And we say, "Oh boy, my hair needs fixing," or whatever it might be. And so we comb our hair, we try to correct our ways. Maybe, God forbid, you're a gossip. And you gossip around all the time and break hearts, maybe even break up homes. And you look into the Word of God and it condemns the gossip. And you say, "I'm not going to gossip anymore." See? And I'm not talking just the women. The men are just as bad, just as bad. I've been in the ministry 74 years. I know a little about it. And they're just as bad. There's no good gossip anywhere. Let me see. One more. Billings, Montana. "Thank you for your down-to-earth sermons. I have a question about your comments on suicide." And by the way, I have a booklet on if a Christian commits suicide, will he go to heaven? And the answer is yes. And it's about a 12-page booklet. And if you want one, when we give the name on there, you just say, "I want the suicide book." Yes, you will if you're a Christian. And so it says, "If I have a question about your comments on suicide. If the 12 apostles were walking with Jesus at least 3 years, were they saved? If they were then you're claiming that Judas will be in heaven." Now this, I'm going to tell you something about this bird right away. He doesn't read his Bible. He doesn't know a thing about the Bible. Now the first thing is, for instance, in John 17:12, Jesus said, "None of them is lost but the son of perdition." There's your answer. The Gospel of John, chapter 17, verse 12. The whole thing's written. You see, he thinks because the apostles walked with Jesus 3 years, they'd go to heaven. That didn't make one particle of difference in their getting to heaven. You know how they got to heaven? Because they put their faith in Jesus Christ, and they could walk with the Lord 100 years and go to hell. Because you're not saved by works, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. And you have to have Jesus, and you have to have Him in your heart by faith. And you can walk on. Why, we have churches, we got people sitting in there, and they'll never see heaven because they're among the people of God and they like the music and all the rest, but they've never opened their heart to Jesus. And if you don't have Jesus, well, what does Jesus tell us? "He that hath the Son hath life." He that hath not the Son of God hath not life, but what? The wrath of God abideth on him. He's going to hell. What do you do? The way to heaven is Jesus. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Thomas asked him, how do I get to heaven? He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. So the way to heaven is a person. I love the church. The church can't save you. Baptism, confirmation, circumcision, you name it. It doesn't have a thing to do with your being saved. It's all who has the Son. Who does have the Son? As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God. Receive him. How do you receive him? How do you receive anybody? You just say, come in. Come into my heart, and he'll come in. And so I just hope and pray that you'll be trusting Jesus. And Judas is in heaven? No. He's the son of perdition. Some translations have it. He's the son of hell. And he'll be there forever and ever. And God have mercy on his soul. Well, those are our letters. Oh, do we ever love to read those letters and to get those letters. And so now I want to tell you how you can write to us. You can write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. We're in good old Aberdeen. You don't need to put good old on there. Just put Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you want to send us a gift over the internet, you can do that. You get christianworshiphour.com. And on there, it'll say donate. You punch that button. And then it'll say how much, and you put down how much. And maybe you're in England, and maybe you're in Norway, the Philippines. We heard from all these places. And they pay in their currency, and we get it in American currency, and we pay our bills. And we can't pay our bills unless you help us, because we're not underwritten by any church or denomination or organization or institution, nothing else. We're underwritten by the people of God. And so as God lays it on your heart, you help us. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota. If you want the book on salvation, just put salvation. You can't be lost. If you want to know, can a Christian go to who commits suicide go to heaven, put suicide. And absolutely you'll be in heaven if you're born again. So you write to us, and we'll be sure to answer. So now I'm going to pray. Jan's going to play, and you give as the Lord lays on your heart. Dear Heavenly Father, just pray that you'll bless these gifts. Thank you for everyone who gives, whether it's a large gift or a little gift, all counts up. All goes to helping us meet our needs. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jan. God bless you. Well, we're reading from Matthew chapter 25, beginning with the 14th verse. And when we have our prayer, we always pray for the persecuted church. And so today we're going to pray for the people in Myanmar. That used to be Burma, and they changed the name, but it's the same people. And they have persecution. Some of them are in concentration camps right now. And so we'll pray for them. But we read in Matthew chapter 25 where Jesus is teaching a parable. And he says, the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, made them for other 5 talents. Likewise, he that had received the 2, he also gained other 2. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those harvests cometh and reckoneth with them. So he that received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, gained besides them 5 more talents. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou hast delivered unto me 2 talents. Behold, I've gained 2 other talents. And his Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid my talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not. Thou knowest that I reap where I sow not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I could have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this parable and the lessons it teaches us. And we pray that as we look into it now in just a few minutes, you'll open our eyes and help us to see that we are here to serve you and we are to honor you, and we're going to have give an account someday. And we just pray that you'll encourage your people everywhere to be out and serving you in every way they possibly can. To those who are on beds of sickness, to those who are shut-ins, they can pray and they can call and encourage people, and they can witness to the people who visit them. And so whatever it is, we pray that we'll use our talents and use them wisely. Dear Lord, we're praying for our dear brothers and sisters in Myanmar today. And we know that some are in concentration camps. We know some are suffering even unto death. And so we pray for them. And we pray mostly, Lord, not for those who lose their life because they're in your presence, but we pray for the mothers and the dads left behind. We pray for the little children left behind. Pray for broken homes the houses have been burned to the ground. They've been driven from their homes and they're destitute. Oh, dear Jesus, we just wish you could come and put an end to it. And yet maybe you're going to wait a little longer so a few more can come. But whatever your will is, we want your will to be done. So bless us in our service today that all we do and say will honor Jesus. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. And Hank is with us, good, faithful Hank, and he's going to sing a song, Blessed Assurance. And God bless you, Hank.
Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his washed in his blood. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior. This is praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above. Lost in His love. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day. Is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior.
Thank you, Hank. God bless you. Always good to hear you sing. And as Hank was singing, I was thinking about this blessed assurance. And you know, that means we'll never have to have another worry in the world. Because when we give everything to Jesus and lean on Jesus, He's going to work it out. And there may be some hard things come in life, and there may be some troubles and all of the rest of it. But if you have that assurance in Jesus, and some people always worrying if they're going to heaven, if they said the right word. You know, I had a grandmother, God bless her, what a dear Christian woman she was. And I used to tell her, well, Grandma, I'll see you in heaven. And you know what she'd say? I hope so. I hope so. Now, she went to heaven. There's no question about it, because she was trusting Jesus. She just hadn't taken Jesus into her life. She's going to be in heaven, but look at the joy that she missed because she never was sure. So you just believe Jesus. And if you want to, we have a little booklet called Can a Christian Lose Their Salvation? And it's about 12 pages long, and it's all scripture. It's not my ideas. And I'll give you the address at the close of the service, and you can write in and get it, and it'll bless your heart. Leaning on Jesus. Well, today we're going to be thinking about this parable that Jesus gave in Matthew chapter 25. And in this parable, it is a father who gives to his servants a certain amount of talents. St. James talks about the same thing. He says, every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above, from the Father of lights. And so the Heavenly Father has given all of us at least one talent. Some He's given two, and some He's given five. And these talents come in various forms. And whatever your gift is, it always comes from God. And it is lent to us from God in heaven. He loans us a gift, and we are to use that gift for His glory and His good. And it doesn't belong to us. We don't own the store. We just work in the store. And He gives us these talents. And when you come to think of this, no person has anything of his own except his sins. They are ours. They're all ours. We committed them. They belong to us. But the good gifts and the wonderful gifts come from God. And so God gives talents and gifts. And not only talents, but these talents aren't ours, as I say, are not ours. Because God tells us in this parable, He says, occupy until I come. I'm going to come back. And when I come back, I'm the giver. And these are just on loan. And I'm going to have an account of these things. So I'm putting them in your hands for a time. And they realized this. Even the man that had one talent, he took it and he buried it in the ground. And when he talked to Jesus, he said, lo, there thou hast thine. That is thine. In other words, he knew the talent was from God, but he didn't use it for God. He buried it where it didn't do anybody any good. So the unworthy man then is cast out, and he has to admit that he's not doing the right thing. He should be using that talent to the honor of God. Now, there are some of the facts straight, but he says, thou art thine. But let us notice some facts about these talents. He says, first of all, the Bible teaches there are many people who have but a few talents. He said, he gave one, some he gave two, some he gave five. Most of the people got one, like I did. I got one talent, and I was lucky to get that, but God was good. And so he's saying that we need to remember, don't criticize other people. Maybe you're a five-talent person, and so you say, I can do a lot of these things. Why can't this other guy do it? Look at all that I'm doing for the Lord, and why doesn't he do more that shows up? Well, he's a five-talent man, and I'm a one-talent man, see? And so we should never, ever put down anybody because you don't know what God has given them. That's the first thing. The second thing is it can go the other way. And the man with one talent, he might say, oh boy, I wish I had five talents. If I had all those talents, would I ever set the world on fire? Would I ever do something? And so he's jealous of the man who has many. I try not to be jealous. We have our singers. And they get up and sing, and they just sing like a meadowlark, just like a bird, a beautiful bird. If I was to sing, the roof would fall in. I'm sure of that. I am not a singer. There's two things in my life I've never done. I've never sang a solo, and I've never been in a beauty contest. I know that's hard to believe, but that's the facts of life. But what I'm saying is we shouldn't be jealous of those who have much. If we have five talents, the one talent person shouldn't fuss and worry about it. And so this one, God tells us, the work calls us upon one talent. He's talking this one talent. And if I don't have the situation that I need, and then if I don't use my talents just right and use it for His honor and glory, I'm going to have to give an account. And so don't fuss about what you have and you don't have. And then the next thing we need to see about this, even a few talents must be accounted for. If you have five talents, you have to account for them. Two talents. If you have one talent, one little talent, you have to give an account for that. You can say, oh, he's got five talents. He should give account. I only got one. That doesn't amount to nothing. And I don't even worry about that. Everyone, God is going to call, the master's going to call for every one of us to give an account. And big or little, God is no respecter of persons. And so if we have a talent or five talents or whatever it is, we have to give them account for that. That's what Paul tells us. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And so God has given His children at least one talent. We'll be judged for what we have. Now, do not be misled. In this parable, we are not talking about salvation. We are talking about service. Because if you don't get that straight, you're going to ruin the, you're way off on a tangent. And you're going to teach false doctrine. This is not talking about salvation. It's talking about service. He gave us something to serve Him with. the judgment seat of Christ. We're all going to stand for that. And it's not to see if we get into heaven or not. That's all been settled at the cross. And the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed us from all sins. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. And he holds us in his hand. And so when we have the Lord Jesus Christ, we have eternal security. And we will never lose our salvation. So it can't be for talking about salvation. It's talking about service. Now look at what he says here. The man didn't use this talent for the Lord. And so this is what he says in Matthew 25, verse 30. Cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now watch out, as I say, he's not talking about hell here. He's talking about service. And that means, believe me, when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, there's going to be great sorrow. There's going to be weeping. There's going to be gnashing. And I'll tell you why. Because of the judgment seat of Christ, and we haven't used our talents for the Lord, we'll be a great sorrow when we stand before the Lord, because we will see how that our life never did a thing for law of the Lord. How that our life, people were lost and went into hell because we didn't serve him. We didn't honor him. We didn't use our talent. And so it goes on and on. Notice this. He's talking to his children in this passage. He's not talking to the lost and the unsaved. He's talking to the Christians. It says here, ye are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And this can have reference only to the people of God. So God is talking to the Christians. He's saying there's a day that you're going to be judged for how you used your talents. Not to see if you get into heaven. That's all settled. Paul says we're seated with Christ in the heavenlies right now. Right now. It's all settled. Not going to be changed. But we're going to have to give an account of how we used our talents. And you remember he told the story. He says of how they're going to be tested. And he says it's going to be summers like silver and gold and precious stones. It'll stand under the fire, under the torch. But there's going to be some that's going to be like wood, hay, and stubble. And their life is going to be all of their works are going to be washed away. They then use works for the Lord. They use them for themselves. But it says in this very passage, it says, but they shall be saved yet as so as by fire. They're going to be sorrow and sadness and weeping when we see what we could have done, but we wouldn't do it. Instead, what do? We used it for ourselves. God has given us, for instance, he's given some of us money, lots of money. Now, I don't know if it's about lots business, but we all have money and have a certain amount. But how do we use that? Sometimes it's hoarded away. There are people that die. I heard about a rich man that died. And somebody, the first thing he says, oh, I wonder how much he left. Left it all. Left it all. Didn't take any. Not a penny. Not a nickel. There's no, trucks following, U-Haul trucks following us out to the cemetery, taking our money. It's all left. And so here this man has his money. He hoards it away. He doesn't use it. Or look at here. We have time. God gives us time. And so how do we use that time? Do we use it just for ourselves? Do we pamper ourselves? We do just what we want. We don't do anything to help a neighbor. We don't do anything to help somebody else. We just use it for good old number one. And so God entrusts us with talents, at least one. Everybody has at least one talent. Some of you have two talents. Some of you have five talents. What are you doing with them? We did not use them for God's work, and you're going to weep about that. When you see that the people you could have helped to save from hell, and you're going to see those people, you're going to weep and cry and be sorrowful. And then what is going to happen, we're told in the God, and when we get to heaven, God's going to wipe away all tears. Well, what is he talking about, all tears? It's because out of that judgment seat of Christ, we'll see what we could have done. And there'll be a weeping and crying, and Jesus will take us in his arms. He'll wipe away all tears, and we're going to heaven, and we remember them no more. They'll never be held against us. That's what Jesus is talking about. And he's trying to urge us to be at work for him. And so they just kept them to themselves, and all of a sudden, one day, he came back. and he had to face the master, and he had to have a dealing, and it was great loss, great loss. And then third, it doesn't matter whether we have two or five talents, we should use them for the Lord. That is, some people think, oh boy, when I get to heaven and I see Peter and Paul and Luther and I see Jesus and I see Billy Graham, and oh, won't they be something? Won't that be wonderful? And I've got one talent and I'll barely get in the door. And I, like one man says, well, I think my wife is going to have a crown, a beautiful crown, and when they come to me, they'll give me a skull cap. Well, I don't know about that, but I do know this, that there's going to be a time when we have to give an account, and then we'll go with the Lord. Now, this is not a story at the end of life, because when the soul meets God, he is clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He can be unashamed and unafraid when he enters those gates. And whether we have one talent or whether we have five talents, we're all covered with the blood of Christ. We're all cleansed, and we're covered with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And he has to take us in. They have to take us in because we're in Jesus. Jesus in us. Jesus in us, and we are in Christ. It's like a sponge. Is it in a bucket of water? Is the sponge in the water or is the water in the sponge? It's interchangeably. But with Christ, we're clothed in that righteousness. We see that when you have the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, and we're told how they're going to be those. They had that wonderful gown made without seam, and they gambled for it. They cast lots. Who's going to get that gown? And those soldiers were there, and they had dirty hands and bloody hands. They just crucified Christ, but they have his gown. And I'm going to tell you something. When Jesus died on that cross, the shame and the disgrace of it all, when you get your Christmas card or you get some card and it has Jesus on the cross, there's always some kind of a little scarf or something. When Jesus was there, he was just naked before the whole world. Oh, my dear Jesus. And so they had his gown, and that one of those men was a wicked centurion, and he had cast lots, and he got the gown. And when he went to the cross, he was dirty and he was bloody and all, but he put on that gown and he was white and pure and clean. And that's the way it is when we come to Jesus. We're all besmirched with sins. We've got sins of commission. We sinned against light. We knew we shouldn't have done that. We did it anyway, and we committed our own sins, and we sinned against God. And then there are those who sins of omission. We knew we should have helped somebody. We knew we should have done this, and that's a sin. All of those sins, all washed away, clothed in the righteousness of Christ. And like God tells us through Isaiah, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And I know that in my sins, and I accepted the Lord when I was 10 years old, and I didn't have a lot of sins then. I got sins since, but I know that all under the blood. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth from all sin. I remember about a dying man, and he wanted to know, to read that pastor read that verse to him, and he said, did it say all sins? And the pastor read it again. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sins, all washed away. That wonderful, wonderful Savior. But let me close with this. There was a reward for being faithful. And you know what that reward was? More work. More work. And that's wonderful because Jesus says, the Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And the identical words are given to those with the servant with the two and the five. They all got the same blessing. And that's what we're always saying. We're saying on the Christian Worship Hour, oh, we're reaching 1 million people. If we could reach 2 million people, we don't want less work. We want more work. And that's the way you are. And that's what every pastor is. He wants more people that he can bring to Jesus Christ. And that's the reward we get. Oh, I want to tell you, I could have retired 30 years ago. And I love to work. I was raised on work. I love to work. And it's a blessing from God to let if you can work. And I feel sorry for the shut-ins and people can't get out and do anything because this dear Jesus, they can't do anything. They can pray and they can witness and all the rest. But if you can get up and do something for the Lord, don't retire. Shift gears, slow down, but serve Jesus. Give your time to Jesus. You know where this age, this retirement age, 65, I don't know what it is now. It's been so long. It was 65 when I could have retired, 65. You know where that came from? That came from the politicians. That ought to tell you something. You know what God says? He taught Adam, he says, from the sweat of your brow, you're going to work until you return to the dust from whence you were taken. It's exactly what he said. And so it is a blessing, and God's going to bless us. So we're going to meet the Lord, and the Lord is going to say, well done. And I don't know what they have in heaven. I know we're not going to just sit there and twiddle our thumbs all the time or take harp lessons or vocal lessons or something. I don't know. I know we're going to be busy. We're going to be doing something. We're going to be like Adam. When God made that beautiful Garden of Eden before they sinned, he had Adam there to take care of the garden. Adam had to work before sin, before he fell. He was taking care of the garden. And what greater joy is there in all the world than to do work for Jesus Christ? Because what we do for the Lord is never going to end. They that win many to righteousness are going to shine like the stars in the sky forever. We can all win people to Christ. We can witness to them. We can help them to read Christian literature. We can help them get to church. We can take children to Sunday school. Dear God, there's a million things we can do, but we just have to do them. And that's what he's calling us to do. And so the first step, the first thing you have to do, you have to have Jesus. None of this counts for you unless you have Jesus. And you say, yes, I want to have Jesus. As a matter of fact, I just feel right now, I would like to have Jesus come into my life. That's the Holy Spirit talking to you. And there's something in your heart and your soul that's saying, I need Jesus. I want Jesus. And this is what you do. You say, dear Jesus, use your own words. Just talk to him. Don't get fancy, thee and the thous. I talked to a man, I don't think he ever prayed. And he prayed and asked Jesus to come into his heart. When he got to the end, he didn't say amen. He said goodbye. Fine, that's fine. God knows what he means. So in your own words, in your own way, say, dear Jesus, I've committed sins against you. Billy Graham says, if there's some big sin that really stands out, name it. Not to me or anybody, just name it to God. I'm sorry that I did this, and I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins, and I'll follow you the best I can, and thank you, Jesus. Now, if you make that prayer, you write to us, and we'll send you literature. You write to the Christian Worship Hour, and the box is 2002, and we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you want to send us a gift, you can send a gift. But write if you've accepted Jesus, and we'll send you a packet. It'll just like Billy Graham gives out of the Crusades when people accept him. And so we just pray that you'll write to us. If you want the little booklet on salvation, or if you want the booklet on suicide, if you can send a gift, if you that's good. If you can't, that's all right too. We'll make it up some other way. And always remember that all of our finances are under the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. And so you write to us, Christian Worship Hour, and the Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And all of you on shortwave radio, we've repeated it now several times, so we hope that you'll write to us too. We'd love to hear from you from all over the world. And now I'm going to say a prayer for you. Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for your people everywhere, all those who've opened their heart to you. We just pray that you'll ask Jesus, that you'll bless them and help them to know, not to feel so much, just to know they've accepted you and that's it. You're in their heart. Whether they have feelings or not, you are there. And then, Lord, those who are shut-ins, we pray for them. And those who are sick and those who are in hard times. And the young people, dear Lord, have trying to make decisions. And they don't know which way to turn in such a crazy world. and to help them to turn to Jesus. May many of them come to Jesus today, right now, and then guide them in life, because you have a plan for everyone. And we'll always give you the thanks and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So we want to thank you now for writing. We want to thank you for praying. Thank you for being with us. And I hope that you'll just continue to stand by, because as I've said so many times, we just have to have your help. And if we don't get your help, we can't carry on. By the way, we have a brand new website now, so you can get the ChristianWorshipHour.com, and you can read all about us, and you can read about the backgrounds on these singers and some of the things like that. So just get a hold of that if you can have access. And whatever you do, just remember, God loves you. Christian Worship Hour loves you. We're praying for you and ask you to pray for us. Next week, Lord willing, we'll be back. God bless you.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area, subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song, view frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions, and submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.